Hello, this is Lex, and welcome to the Next Step Remote podcast, where I have the pleasure to interview some of the best remote work experts from all over the world. In each episode, we cover a topic, success story, or challenge to help you make remote work work. Enjoy. In this episode, I'm sitting down with Christina Barger from Cogenta to talk about building trust in remote teams. Just let you know, Christina is actually one of the co-founders of Next Step Remote Leadership Group, which this podcast is part of. Christina, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Before we dive in, for those who might not know you, can you tell us a bit more about yourself and most of all, where in the world are you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm originally American. I was a clinical psychologist for several years in New York City with families and children. I focused a lot on emotion regulation, communication skills, trauma, that type of thing. After that, I switched to cognitive psychology and started focusing on thoughts. So before we did sort of feelings and behavior and clinical psychology, then I moved over to focus more on thoughts and memory and judgment and all the brain-related processes that go along with that. So that gives me sort of a full research spectrum of looking at the ways that people engage with each other, engage with themselves, and how they can sort of maximize all of those things in order to perform better. I also have been working with startups since 2013 or so. So I do quite a bit of stuff that's what I would say is essentially offloading the type of work I would do in a clinical setting prior to software. So it's behavioral change or mental health support, the same types of processes, but just designing it so that software can help people to help themselves better. And that's what I do in my own company now, which is called Cogenta. It's cognitive science and cognitive psychology and behavioral and mental health change in software. So I've been running that for the last couple of years. My current project is in police decision-making behavior. That's running out of the US. Previous one was in type 2 diabetes behavioral change. So it's all sort of tech for good stuff. And but yeah, any type of positive change that we can make in people to help them perform and function better. I also do a lot of work with startups, so some of it is advising, some of it is mentoring, some of it is actually mediation. I don't do much clinical work anymore, but what I do overlaps with the startup world, and so I call it coaching. I stay out of the sort of mental health arena because I'm no longer licensed, and there I just help teams perform better, to sort of engage with each other better, improve their communication skills, and perform at their peak, really. As far as where I am, that changes fairly regularly. As I said, I used to be in New York, then London, Seoul, Tel Aviv. At the moment, due to the coronavirus, I am quarantining in Thailand, but I do have UK Dutch residency. So I split my time normally between Amsterdam and London. So you can catch me many places.
Wow. So you... you're definitely the definition of a remote worker, and with an excellent background in what we need at the moment very, very much, which is making sure that our teams perform as well as they can be, which is important, of course, day to day. But especially now in the situation that we find ourselves in with COVID-19, where, you know, there's obviously a lot of elements to be beyond our control and a lot of uncertainty and anxiety as a result of it, which will impact people's performance. And absolutely, many companies and many teams find themselves working separately, although they might be very much used to working together in the same room, where trust, obviously, in that situation is very important. But when we find ourselves, everybody locked in their home offices or bedrooms or living rooms, how do we kind of go about building that trust? But most of all, what do you think trust actually is and why it's important? Oof. For teams to function.
So what trust is a difficult question for me, those sort of big questions. I don't know if I could really do justice to describing what trust is. I think it's confidence in other people, a feeling of security that you're understood, that you understand that your interactions are compassionate and beneficial, certainly in the absence of insecurity or worry, or as much as it can be. And it's important because it's a sort of, well, I don't want to say the sort of grease and the social lubricant, but it is one of the most important things you can have in a team, because it allows everyone to work together. It really facilitates cooperation. The moment trust breaks down, it's not something we often take for granted, right? But the moment it breaks down, things can get, considerably more stressful. I mean, processes take much longer because people are trying to gauge whether what they've said was appropriate, or what was said to them had a double meaning, or that lots and lots of miscommunication occurs, and a lot of time gets wasted and a lot of negative emotion kind of starts as a result. And it often can be a spiral when you have a lack of trust, sort of any sort of friction or negative emotion that starts to arise. When you compound that with a lack of trust, it really does kind of spiral. And just, I don't want to go on too much, but I will say, because we were talking about remote work, in a remote setting, that spiral often becomes exacerbated, because in a sort of brick and mortar setting where you see people in the day, you sort of have time to get over things, or you have buffering interactions where you see the other person, you're reminded that they're also human, you feel a little compassion, or you work together on some other small thing, and it helps sort of take down your feelings of frustration or distrust or cynicism or whatever is there. And then it helps to sort of rebuild connection. But when we're working remote, trust becomes a much more difficult thing to maintain. Much more difficult.
I appreciate this is it was very much a loaded question, because there's so many angles you can approach trust. I think you've done brilliantly to summarize it from your point of view, and that's what we're after. One of my favorite ways of looking at what trust is actually maybe not what the defining trust, but from a team setting, a quote that I think is by Simon Sinek, if I remember correctly. He says that a group of people who work together, and the difference in that is that it's the trust that makes them a team.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's probably one of my favorite ways of looking at it. And obviously we know that is very, very important, especially in the remote setting, as you mentioned, because we don't have that human interaction anymore that we would normally get. And we are human, instincts. We've got those instincts that we do need that, especially when we're not sure what's going on outside and how it'll affect us. Moving slightly on, what do you think are some of the biggest myths or misconceptions when it comes to what trust is, or what kind of how it helps us in the remote setting in between building between teams?
I think people undervalue it, actually, or take it for granted very much, because I'm not sure it's something that we really think about making time to build, particularly in a professional setting. In a professional setting, a lot of people sort of look at it as, I have a job to do, I've done my job, you do your job, the end. Unfortunately, because we're not machines, it rarely can stay that simple. If it can, wonderful, fantastic. But in principle, over time, our sort of human qualities, vulnerabilities, insecurities come into play. And when you don't trust the people you're working with for whatever reason, any sort of insecurity that pops up, or, whether it's, is that person doing their job correctly? Was that comment, can I depend on them? Or was that comment that was just made, it could have been taken badly. Did they mean that as, as a slight? Or those types of things really can fester. And particularly in this time that we're in, I mean, the uncertainty, the stress, the anxiety that many people, I almost want to say most, are experiencing now with their health, the economy, their freedoms, government, all sorts of things. All of those things amplify our feelings of uncertainty, of insecurity, of worry, of anxiety. And the thing that can sort of buffer all of those negative and unsettling feelings is trust and good relationships. So it's just absolutely more important now than ever before. It's already important in sort of remote teams, but when you have an external environment that's just full of uncertainty and instability. You need to have as much stability as you can with the people that you depend on. And that's where trust really comes into play. Does that make sense? Or was that too abstract?
Absolutely, it does. Actually, you touched on a very important point that I've been paying close attention to when we went into this crisis. Because at best of times, we have trust issues within teams. I've worked in a number of organizations and with a number of organizations where you could tell straight away that one of the problems that the organization has in terms of their team working effectively and efficiently is communication, which actually stems, that it is only a symptom, and the real reason behind it is trust. Mm. And you touch upon it from a very interesting angle with the uncertainty of it, is that whether people are comfortable and can be vulnerable enough to open up to their team members and people within their organization, which I think for them to be able to do that, that's where trust is very, very important as well, that, you know, that they will understand and to be able to deal with what we're facing. That's what we actually need to do as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Last year around this time, I was at a wellness, I don't know what it was. It was a 2-day, I do know what it was, but I can't remember exactly how they branded it. It was a 2-day, I guess, like internal workshop at Deloitte on wellness. And one of the things we talked about there a lot was psychological safety. And the concept of psychological safety is a feeling that, you know, that sort of, to me, underpins trust. Because if you don't feel safe psychologically, you're not going to trust whoever's on the other side of the computer screen or the phone or the desk. So psychological safety can be tough, of course. Some people bring their own sort of heightened vulnerabilities or insecurities into a situation that don't have anything to do with the team. That's going to be much, much more prevalent right now, just because the world is so uncertain and kind of frightening, as I said. So a lot of people are going to bring more sort of baggage in and feel less safe in general. But the way around it, or the way to, not around it, the way to sort of ameliorate it is to have your leader, the team leader, or if you have a flat team, somebody who has a, you know, somewhat of a psychological leadership role, to just start modeling vulnerability. And that might sound really a little bit strange, but they're sort of creating, setting the stage for vulnerability, or setting the stage to show that it's okay to be a little bit personal, it's okay to be a little bit vulnerable. And I think that type of thing then sort of trickles down through the team. But a lot of the corporate structures that I've heard about in the past said, oh, well, the team needs to trust the leader. And it's really just not a top-down approach. Well, it is a top-down approach, but it's not a sort of, it's not something you can force. It's something you have to build up and intentionally create an environment of safety. And generally, it takes somebody with a little bit more power or clout to actually show some vulnerability. And then that allows the rest of the team to see that vulnerability is acceptable. It allows them to see, to feel some compassion, perhaps for the leader as well. And it opens the door to the idea that compassion might also be felt for them. And those types of sort of positive human experiences, I think, go a long way to creating trust. But of course, trust takes time also, right? It's not something that happens sort of overnight.
I think you summed up it beautifully in terms of what it is, in terms of how it works in an organization as well. I think you're spot on with the fact that it does take time to build, because there's an expectation that, you know, in organizations, we've had a workshop on trust. Why don't you trust each other? Or why don't you trust me as a leader? It's just very, very, very common and funny occurrence that I've noticed. And the reality is, yes, it does take a lot of time to build. And it tends to be the little things that you actually don't notice or wouldn't consider as trust building. Like, for example, you know, in the situation we're in, it's about asking somebody how they are and what's going on in their world, and actually caring and stopping to listen to the answer and having that conversation. So it's little things like that, in my opinion, that also help. And you're right that it does come from the leader of some sorts. It doesn't have to be a leader in a structural point of view, I don't think. It's somebody who has that willingness and strength to put themselves forward and say, listen, this is, and show that, and most of all, show that vulnerability. Vulnerability is a fascinating topic, and one of my best and one of my favorite authors on it is Brené Brown, and it's a topic that I probably could ramble on for hours on end. We might have to do a separate episode on that, I think. But I was going to jump onto the question about organizations and what do they often get wrong, and I think we already touch upon that a little bit. And you've given a fair bit of kind of your advice on the situation, but what would you think that in terms of building trust, considering the situation we are in, especially, but maybe overall as well as remote teams, what would be your one piece of advice or things to do, areas to a company or a leader within a company should look at and address? Let's put the slant of it of COVID-19 in the current situation. What would you give them as kind of your couple of pieces of advice on how to do it?
Well, I would kind of just hark back to some of the things you just mentioned, which were authenticity, also validation. You didn't say that, but it comes into play. So that validation is validating someone else's perspective. It's listening. It's being honest and really making the time for other people. But I would say if you're looking for just sort of practical techniques, this is a step-by-step what you do. Start all of your meetings with just a 5-minute kind of check-in. Now, if you have a meeting that's very big and it's, you know, uncomfortable for people to say anything personally, don't do it in that one. Do it in a smaller team meeting. Encourage your employees to have 15-minute coffee meetings where you don't talk about work. And you should have them yourself, you know, once every week or 2 weeks. And it may seem like a waste of time, but it really has such long-term payoff. Because when your team trusts you, they will give you so much more. And you'll know so much more what's going on with them. And you'll also be less frustrated as well. Because if you see something going by the wayside, rather than thinking, oh, this person is slacking, not doing their job, you might think, oh, wow, you know, whatever, they have this worry with their child or their parent, or they're struggling with something else. But if you know what they're struggling with, not only will you have more compassion, but you'll also be able to help them. Because sometimes it's an instrumental thing or a logistical thing they're struggling with. But if they don't trust you, they're not even going to tell you that. So it goes a long way towards problem solving as well. But definitely, I would just be very, very intentional about scheduling in human moments. Virtual coffees, 5-minute check-ins, and you can start a meeting off yourself by saying something like, so I just want to see how everybody's doing. It's been a little stressful at my house. You know, we've got the kids at home. It's hectic. It's whatever. You can say, you know, whatever you're comfortable sharing, but something to humanize it from the leadership side first. And then also bearing in mind that it takes time. People, especially if you haven't had this relationship, will take sort of time to adjust to it. They might not tell you everything the first or the second week, but the third or the fourth, you'll start to see that the trust will build and the conversations will open up. And it really will pay off just absolute immeasurable dividends in the long term in terms of cohesion in your team, performance, more efficient problem solving. Right, because whenever people are afraid to be vulnerable, they're afraid to show their problems. And if you don't know what the problems are, you can't fix them. And when you're remote, it's so much more difficult to collect information. You really just have to rely on trust and communication, because you can't observe as you could in the office environment. So that intentionality is what I would say is probably the biggest thing. Intentionality, authenticity, and as much compassion as you know you can show.
And I think that is a very, very nice point to end on. It's, as we mentioned at the very start, trust is a huge topic, more important than ever now, not just for remote teams, but any team in general. And we both could ramble on for days on end, I believe, on this topic. But I think you summed it up very, very, very nicely with that one piece of advice. So before we wrap up, two very quick questions. Tell us a bit more about what you've got going on over the next few weeks and months. Any exciting projects, any work that people should be following and looking out for?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the Next Step group has some interesting things going on where we have a sort of a 24/7 Slack access group to, I don't know how many experts we have now, well over 100, but some very, very interesting people there who have been working across the full spectrum of remote work for collective decades, everything from legal to psychologists to business consultants and all kinds of stuff there. So anybody who'd like to check that out is more than welcome to. It's the Next Step group. It's on Slack. And then, yeah, as far as my personal things, well, I don't know. I don't know what's interesting there for other people. I advise a very interesting startup that's blockchain related. They're democratizing recruiting. So that's primarily, that's called PrimeFlow. Very, very interesting what they're doing. So if anybody has good connections in the tech world or would like good connections in the tech world, you can give them a shot. And what they're doing actually is allowing people to sort of map out their entire professional network and then use that network it's so abstract, it's quite hard to explain. So allows them to use the network and across a sort of extended web to make connections or to help people find jobs. And then if you're one of your connections or who has a job or is a good candidate for a job and you manage to connect them, even if it goes through 2, 3, 4, or 5 people, everybody along the chain is rewarded both financially and in terms of something we're calling a reputation score. So at the end of the day, you'll have this sort of very interesting and nuanced metrics-based reputation score, which is just professional. It's not behavioral or anything like that. It's just absolutely who you know and how well you can leverage your network to help people find jobs. But yeah, that's quite interesting. I think it may be interesting for people as well, particularly with all the remote opportunities that are coming up and that are frankly necessary given the social distancing. So that's primeflow.com. That's probably the most interesting public thing that I'm working on, because some of it is under NDA, so we can't talk about it a lot.
Yeah, what we'll do, we'll drop links in the show notes to the Next Step group so people can join and monitor it, what's going on, and anything else that Christina would like to share, that the startup that you mentioned, if we can, we'll add it in the show notes as well. Final question. How can people find you if they've got any questions, if they want to pick your brains, or basically just follow the stuff that you're putting out? Because I'm sure there's a lot of interesting content that people will benefit from.
Oh, thank you. I think the best way for me is honestly just LinkedIn or my you can email me directly. But I don't do a ton of stuff on social media, but I do tend to post sort of interesting things about along the lines of data. And particularly tech, innovations in tech that we can use for good. So yeah, LinkedIn, my name, Christina with a K, and then Barger is probably the best way. And I should say, although I'm quite busy at my company, Cogenta, anybody who needs help either validating an idea or an actual product or designing a product, if it's a tech for good product, I'd be more than happy to hear you out and perhaps advise or come on board to consult. But again, I don't really do sales or marketing, so it has to be tech for good, but it can be any sort of tech, whether it's just traditional software, whether it's something that's incorporated into IoT or anything AI, machine learning. We've sort of got all of that covered. But I'm always super interested in tech for good projects. So anything about that, please. Come my way.
Well, that's a fantastic offer. We'll definitely make sure that I'll include all the links to contact you, to reach out to you within the show notes. Right, this brings us to the end. Christina, thank you very much for joining us, and it was great to hear from you and your views on trust. I'm sure that we can have another show where you come on and we explore this topic, or maybe topic of vulnerability again. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
One more thing before you take off. Next Step Group offers premium level support across a diverse range of remote work issues, 24 hours a day and in multiple languages, with experts in HR, legal, operations, tech, leadership, and more.
It's open to leaders looking for guidance, consultants, and remote workers wanting to share their experience. You can join by visiting www.nextstep.group. This podcast is produced and hosted by Lev Guzowski from Human PM. Special thanks to the founders of the Next Step Group, Christina Barger, Jelaine Chan, Stefan Dorn, and Matteo Grassi.